Are conservatives, and Donald Trump in particular, fascists? Well, that's what we often hear on the mainstream media, or at least the liberal media. We're going to talk about this right now with Dinesh D'Souza, who's a best-selling author and a blockbuster-producing documentary maker. And Dinesh D'Souza's website, by the way, is DineshD'Souza.com. And that's spelled DineshD'Souza.com. And when you spell it normally, the last name is capital D apostrophe S-O-U-Z-A, Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, looking forward to it. Glad to be on the show.
Sure. Okay, so enough for the commercial. Let's talk about your new book, The Big Lie. What is The Big Lie?
The big lie is the notion that fascism and Nazism belong on the right. And so specifically, the big lie is that Trump is a fascist, the Republicans are a kind of a neo-Nazi party, that fascism is a right-wing phenomenon. This has become exploded into public light since Charlottesville, and the media and the left have constructed this narrative that the left are the good guys, they're fighting fascism, whereas the fascists are all on the right end of the spectrum. That's a big lie. It is not only untrue, it is actually the opposite of the truth. Real fascism, real Nazism have always been on the left. And the big lie itself is not has predates Trump, because it was right after World War II when the progressives coming to power in the academy and in the media and in Hollywood. They knew about the big lie. In fact, they're the perpetrators of it, the inventors of it. They decided to move fascism from the left-wing column, where they knew it belonged, into the right-wing column so they could use it as a truncheon to beat up their opponents.
Your film on Hillary Clinton last year was really tremendous. I saw that and liked that so much. It was called Hillary's America. But one of the scenes that was so good, and I want you to explain this, it was really comical. You were in, I'm sure it was a representation or facsimile of the Democratic National Headquarters, because they wouldn't have let you, Dinesh D'Souza, in there to film there. But anyway, so there you were, and there's this photograph of Abraham Lincoln. And while you're furtively looking around, make sure nobody's watching you, you take that picture down and then you replace it with a portrait of Andrew Jackson. The difference between a Republican and a Democrat. Comment on that scene. I mean, it was great, by the way. Really powerful, powerful. But the difference between those men, two men, says a lot about this whole issue, doesn't it?
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln was, of course, the founder or a founder of the Republican Party. And the champion of emancipation. It was Lincoln who freed the slaves, and it was the Republican Party that passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which actually conferred all the basic civil rights on African Americans and other minorities. Now, Andrew Jackson was not only a slave owner, but an Indian killer. And in saying this, I'm not insulting him. He took that title as a compliment. And Andrew Jackson was actually the model. Andrew Jackson's extermination of the Cherokee Indians was the model that Adolf Hitler used in order to conceive of and lay out his strategy for conquest in Europe. Basically, what Lincoln said, what Hitler said, is he said, "Look what Jackson did. He pushed the Indians further west. He resettled their land. If any of them remained back, he tried to enslave them." And Hitler goes, "That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw the Poles, the Eastern Europeans, the Russians off their land. We'll resettle that land with German families. If any of the natives stay back, we'll enslave them." And so I'm not saying that there's an analogy between Andrew Jackson and Adolf Hitler. I'm saying that Hitler actually got his idea from the Jacksonian Democrats of the 19th century.
Wow. Okay, now let me ask you this. Why do people say or identify Hitler as supposedly a man of the right? You're right. I mean, for example, even the phrase Nazi is a derivation of the word or the phrase National Socialist. And socialists is not something that people who are conservatives believe in, right?
Right. The fascists were on the left. Look, I show in my book that all the founders of modern fascism, not only in Germany, but also in Italy, where fascism was really invented by Mussolini, but on into in England, in France, all these fascists were men of the left. They were Marxists. Some of them were socialists. Some of them were from the British Labour Party. But none of them were, quote, right-wingers. Mussolini was the leading Marxist in Italy, and he was the editor of the Socialist Party's magazine. when he started fascism. He was recognized to be on the left by fellow leftists. When Mussolini did his march on Rome to establish the first fascist regime in the world, Lenin sent him a telegram of congratulations, basically saying, "Hail, fellow revolutionary of the left." Lenin knew that. And Hitler, as you mentioned, his party was the National Socialist German Workers' Party. If you read its platform, I mean, if you stood aloud and read the Nazi platform at the Democratic National Convention last year, most of it would evoke thunderous applause.
Wow. Wait, did I just hear, say that last statement again.
Well, what I was saying was that both the fascists in Italy, as well as the Nazis in Germany, released their political platform. These are the 25 things that we want. The Nazi platform, I believe, had 25 points to it. Now, one or two of them are sort of giveaways because they might refer specifically to Jews, or they use language that is old, like usury. But most of it, if you just read it out loud, you stood up at the Democratic National Convention and said, "I'm for this, and I'm for this, and I'm for," and you're reading from the Nazi Party platform, much of what you say would cause the whole audience to stand up and applaud.
Wow. But now, of course, you're not saying the Democratic National Party today is like the Nazis, right?
No, no. But what I'm trying to say really is this, and that is that the Nazis were collectivists. They were for the strong centralized state. They were for the welfare state. They wanted the government to run the private sector economically. That's why the economic definition of fascism is state-run capitalism. And then they wanted the government to run your life. So when you look at something like Obamacare, Obamacare isn't socialism, because in socialist countries, the government takes over the healthcare system and runs it itself. But Obamacare has private hospitals. It has private health insurance companies. But who tells those private companies what to do? The government. The government sets the prices. The government decides who is eligible and not eligible for insurance. So the government is directing the private sector. And this state-directed capitalism is the classic definition of fascism.
As we're seeing this this violence that unfolded over the weekend, it's really terrible at Charlottesville, but it seems almost as if some elements in the left are taking advantage of what happened and trying to say, look, see, this shows you there's all these right-wing terrorists out there, and this is what we've been saying all along. What are your thoughts about Charlottesville in light of the big lie?
Well, the first thing I want to observe is that I discovered yesterday reading the Southern Poverty Law Center. This is not a right-wing group. This is actually a progressive group that monitors so-called hate groups. And on their website, I see that this guy Kessler, who was the organizer of the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, the guy who organized the whole thing, he's a former Obama guy, and he's a former Occupy Wall Street guy. So right away, my antenna went up, and I said to myself, wow, I noticed the media is not focusing on this. This is a very telling and important detail, because it seems to suggest the possibility that the whole Charlottesville rally was rigged. It was kind of staged for what? To feed the media narrative that the dangers of white supremacy, of the Ku Klux Klan, of fascism come from the right. Now, we all know, anybody who knows an ounce of history knows, that the Ku Klux Klan was a terrorist wing of the Democratic Party. It wasn't just a private militia. It was literally directed by the Democrats. The progressive scholar Eric Foner calls it the domestic terrorist arm of the Democrats for 30 years. When the Klan had real power in the 1920s, they marched 50,000 people in white hoods right up Fifth Avenue. Where were they going? To Madison Square Garden. Why? That was the site of the Democratic National Convention. The Klansmen were delegates at the convention.
Well, that is astounding. How about the rewriting of history in terms of, say, Robert E. Lee or that kind of thing?
Well, when you look at Robert E. Lee, you know, he's a very odd choice to pick to pull down his monuments. First of all, Robert E. Lee made statements that reflected a principled opposition to slavery. It's true Robert E. Lee inherited a handful of slaves on his wife's side, but he was a military man. That was something that was in his family, and he inherited them, I believe, in 1857, really just 3 years before the Civil War erupted. Robert E. Lee opposed secession. He didn't want the South to secede. Lincoln offered him the position of commander-in-chief of the Union Army. The only reason Robert E. Lee declined that position is he didn't want to make war on his own relatives in his native state of Virginia.
Right.
So Robert E. Lee is not a bad guy. At least he's not the baddest of the bad guys, and he's not half as bad as a lot of the racist Democrats who are actually lionized in the Democratic Party. look at a guy like Robert Byrd, a thoroughly bad guy who was actually a leader in the Ku Klux Klan. Now, half of West Virginia is named after Robert Byrd. You drive up and down West Virginia, Robert Byrd Highway, Robert Byrd Medical Center, Robert Byrd this, Robert Byrd that. I don't see the Antifa guys rampaging up and down West Virginia, tearing down Robert Byrd statues. In fact, Hillary Clinton called him her mentor. When he died in 2010, there was Obama eulogizing him at the funeral. There was Bill Clinton at the funeral. So it's interesting how some of the worst of these racists kind of escape notice because they happen to be in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, so really what we have is a selective reading of history. But what about this whole thing about just tearing down statues related to our past? It's almost like an American version of the Taliban, if you will.
Well, certainly in just literally looking around the world, who does those things, right? I mean, ISIS does them. The Taliban does them. They pull down these statues of the Bamiyan Buddha and so on. And they too claim an ideological justification. They claim that they want to impose a Muslim theocracy. Why do we want to have some Buddha statues here in Afghanistan? So they've also got the same types of ideological justification that we see from the left in this country. Look, there's a statue in Chicago of Stephen Douglas. Stephen Douglas was the leader of the Northern Wing of the Democratic
Party. I didn't know that. I did not know that. He was, go ahead.
Douglas was a big defender of slavery and a very clever upholder of slavery, and he was allied with the Southern Democrats. Now, why isn't the left pulling down his statue? The reason is this.
Ignorance.
The moment that they fault a Northern Democrat, they spoil the narrative that the South are the bad guys. Right now, the left, what the Democrats have done very cunningly, they've transferred the blame for slavery from themselves. They were actually the party that protected slavery both in the North and the South. But they've transferred the blame onto the South. And so the reason they can't draw attention to Stephen Douglas is he spoils their narrative. He disrupts it. And so they're going to leave him alone, pretend he doesn't exist, because they want to focus on this sort of transfer of blame so that we have Southern guilt and Southern apologies rather than Democratic guilt and Democratic apologies.
Did America invent slavery?
No, slavery is a worldwide institution. It did take on a particular racial character in America. Historically, in most countries, the slaves and the slave owners have often been of the same race, not necessarily a racial divide separating the one from the other. America's the only country to go to war to end slavery. And what I don't like is when people say, well, America's to blame for slavery. No, America didn't do it. Some Americans did it and other Americans stopped them. And the same is true, by the way, with fascism. In the 1920s and 30s, the left in this country, the Democratic left, was fascinated by fascism. FDR was fascinated by Mussolini, revered him. FDR sent members of his brain trust to fascist Italy to study Italian fascism. Why? Because he thought it was more progressive than the New Deal. He wanted to bring fascist ideas to America. And Mussolini, for his part, thought very well of FDR. He reviewed President Roosevelt's book called Looking Forward in an Italian magazine. And his basic conclusion was, great book, great guy, he's one of us, he's a fascist. So I think what's interesting is I fished all this out of history. And I'm not giving you stuff that's controversial, my opinion, as opposed to someone else's. These are the indubitable facts of history. But they have been covered up by the progressives because they embarrassed the narrative that fascism is supposed to be right-wing. Well, gee, guess what? It isn't.
The riots in the street that we're seeing so often, is this the new norm in America?
I hope not. I mean, I came of age in the Reagan era. It was more of an era of gentleman's politics. I mean, you could see Reagan and Tip O'Neill, for example, having at it on public policy, but then, you know, you could envision them having a beer afterward. We don't live in that America now. The left, I think, is so embittered by the result of the last election that they are on a kind of mounted campaign to try to show Trump to be some sort of a fascist, because then it justifies all their own extremist, unlawful, terroristic, intimidation, all that kind of behavior. Even this quasi-coup that they're trying to mount against Trump, it all is justified by the claim that they're pretending like they're fighting Hitler in the 1930s.
Wow. All right. Dinesh D'Souza, thanks so much for being with us. The name of his book, The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left, Regnery Publishers, DineshD'Souza.com for more information. Dinesh, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.